Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins this morning. First of all, we'd like to recognize any visitors. Are there any in this section from the last? Brother Rudolph, I like your haircut. Anybody in the middle section? This section? Everybody's been here. Great. If you would, look in your bulletins for some announcements. There is youth today at 5 o'clock. Yes? That's not correct. What ages? Everybody? Maybe I ought to just let everybody else read it then and they will go straight. Yes, Deborah. Yes.
Thank you. Here at the Avalanche Ranch, there are two ways we get our workers from Vacation Bible School. Here's the hard way. Sure be easier if you just volunteer.
What does VBS mean to you?
Very boring sea cucumbers.
Very busy snake.
Volcano boom show.
Very, very scuba.
Vehicle bouncing safari?
Very big city.
Very bumbling sheriff.
Very busy salamander.
Veronica bubbling sheriff.
Tell you what M&M's mean.
Find out what VBS really means at Avalanche Ranch Vacation Bible School.
Through God's Word.
Avalanche Ranch is different from any VBS you've seen. Kids experience unforgettable Bible stories, build lasting relationships with each other and Jesus, reach out and share their faith in a big way with kids in other countries, and complete 5 daily challenges that encourage kids to live out what they've learned right in their homes and communities.
Today I was going to do play with somebody younger than you.
Cleaning our room without being asked. My mom was really happy.
Their dishes, make their beds without being told.
Pray before I've done an activity.
It has made a difference in our home in these past few days. That's amazing.
You'll even meet a few Bible memory buddies to help kids remember important Bible truths long after VBS.
Oh, how could they ever forget me? I'm Buck, and I want kids to discover that God is real.
He sure is, Buck. I am Shadow, and I'll help kids remember that God is with us.
That's my mighty, powerful Wahoo, Buckaroos. This here's Ranger, and I want kids to have faith that God is strong.
I'm Sky with the Bird's Eye View Avalanche Ranch. At this VBS, kids will never forget that God is awesome.
Yahoo!
My name might be Boss, but I sure know that God is in charge.
These Bible memory buddies might be cool, but they won't steal the show. That's because your kids will star in all new spotlight dramas. Every day, one group of kids will help create a cool media presentation to share at the Showtime Roundup. That's just one way this wild ride is unforgettable.
Plus, kids will reach all the way around the world. That's because with Operation Kid to Kid, the kids in your church will share the comfort of God's love with kids in other countries. Your kids will make soft, cuddly prayer bears, and each bear holds a special message of Jesus' love.
So get ready for a wild ride through God's Word. It's the great adventure your kids have been waiting for.
Say thank you to this church for what you mean in this community. I can't see who anybody is, and I can't see who is anywhere at any time, but I've never been so proud in my life in this town. A program last night, Julie Lux singing the Lord's Prayer to the theme of one of the themes of Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony. Be a part of a community where that there are some fine things going on, and that's some fine thing, the stuff of cultured people, of refined people, is happening, and it happens in our church here. So thank you for the program last night.
Thank you, Brother. Would anybody else have an announcement? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, hello, Zach. We're glad to have you.
It's pretty. We have a good grand baby. Everybody do it tonight. Everybody's too close.
Well, you could get a little more information, even though it's in the bulletin, Grandpa.
That's it. That's everything. Coming on tomorrow.
Well, I got to pass Larry yesterday coming out of the lodge after I had my fish dinner, and he was beaming. But Thatcher Allen Gross, 7 pounds 3 ounces, 20 1/2 inches long, and he did say that Susan was doing fine. Anything else? Anybody else have an announcement? If you would, I know the attendance registers have been passed out. Please sign them, and if you would, make note that it is the second service. Prayer or praise request? Yes. Yes. Lindsay Montgomery. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. If you would, we're going to pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts to receive God. Bow your heads, please.
We thank you that you are our great high priest and you have paved the way, passed through the heavens, and made it possible for us to come boldly before the throne of grace. So we come, Lord, in prayer, anticipating when we can come in person, Lord, with our resurrected body. Thank you. Thank you for inviting us. Thank you for sending the witness to tell us about forgiveness of sin and about heaven. Thank you, Lord, that we can offer praise to you, that you have invited us as lowly as we may be. In
have invited us before your throne to bring glory to you. To give blessing. To show honor. And to give glory. And to sing of your might. Praise be unto you, O Lord. Now, Lord, lead us as we pray, as Jesus taught us to pray. Let it be a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Please remain standing and put your faith into words through the Apostles' Creed, and then we'll sing together the Gloria.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 12. For our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities. Prayer of confession, you join with me, please. Almighty God, you have raised Jesus from death to life, and crowned him Lord of all. We confess that we have not bowed before him, or acknowledged his rule in our lives. We have gone along with the ways of the world and failed to give you glory. Forgive us and raise us from sin, that we may be a faithful people, obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ, who rules the world and is head of the church, his body. Of forgiveness today is from Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. For this is what the High and Lofty One says: He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite.
Near to the heart of God. Let's sing the first verse on it. First verse on it.
There is a great God quiet, friend. He is Lord. first time to do this in a long time. I used to sing with my sisters in a trio as a teenager, and so it's been a long time. And I'd ask your indulgence before I start with, and I got a lot of sinus drainage and allergies this morning, but anyway, we'll get through it. The song I've chosen to sing is entitled In Christ Alone, and it was originally recorded by a trio that I've come to love their music. They grew up singing at their mother's knee songs in a cappella of the old hymns of the church. They're the Martins. You may have heard them, be familiar with them. But the song talks about successes in our lives, the things that we are able to accomplish. But all of that pales when you compare it to what we have in Christ. When we accept His strength for our weakness, He is there to help us in the dark times. And the things that we all struggle with in life, whether it's loss or betrayal or pain or sickness, He is there.
My source of hope.
now time for children's time. If all the children would come forward. Listen to Ms. Barnes. Thank you.
let's sing a new song, 574. It is a familiar tune, just different words. So let's sing the first verse on it. will, please. One of the great hymns of the church, 479, Honor a Christian Servant. Let's sing first and last.
Birthing a baby about that time, and I am proud of that grandson. Don't want to be too braggadocious, though. That's kind of strange coming from me, isn't it? But that's all right. Every once in a while, I like to surprise people. A healthy baby, and we're just rejoicing together. I want to talk about Jesus praying for you as well as me. Jesus praying for us. And that's the title, and you have heard the lesson, and you hopefully followed along, and this is a passage that you can take home with you, and you can dwell on. You can read again. And you might want to get a commentary or two and read what the great fathers, the recent fathers of the church have said about this prayer of Jesus. The purpose of this sermon, or my intended purpose, or the goal, or my desire for this sermon, is to call attention to what Jesus wills for us, or what Jesus wants to happen with His people. That's what it says. He is praying to the Father to ask the Father to do in us this thing, to make us one. It's to call attention for His will, and I can tell you where it's found. It's expressed. Jesus expresses it through what we call His high priestly prayer. Now the word priest, He goes to the Father on our behalf, God the Father, praying for us, praying for you and I who have come to believe because of the word of those apostles that He was praying for in the first part of the earlier part of this chapter. He prays concerning His relationship with God, or He talks to God about that. They have seeming a little conversation there. And then He prays for the 12, or maybe even the 120, those who were still with Him at this time, those who would be His witnesses. Of course, all of them would not be spokespersons. Some of them would just be workers in the community giving support to those who would pass on the words of Jesus. And then we don't have record of all the 12 even preaching, but we have the record of some of them. And then we have record of some preaching who were not of the 12, like Stephen's sermon was part of the fellowship of Jesus and those who had gathered with Him, or came into the group by the witness of those who preached Jesus, possibly through Peter's sermon. I don't really know how Stephen got into the group, but we find his preaching also. So, he's prayed about those that were with Him and their testimony, but now, in this passage, He is praying for us. He is going to God on our behalf. Talking about us. Way back then. Yes, way back then. Before we were ever born. The purpose continues to invite listeners to make God's will, Jesus' will, our will. Or to surrender our will to His will. To say, yes, it's what you say, Jesus, and not what we say that we'd like to happen in our life. Most every passage has a historical setting, and maybe every one. This one certainly does. Jesus has been in public ministry for 3 years. What did He do from the time He was 12 to 30? Much speculation. But He's been in public ministry for these 3 years. Early in the Gospels, we find that He was baptized by John and set out on this public ministry, and He went from place to place, Galilee, and He ended up in Jerusalem. He traveled maybe not over 100 miles in His public ministry, but He was busy. He spent much time off in prayer. He spent much time on the sea, on the seashore, on the plains or in the mountains, maybe just a little ride. But He was involved in public ministry. That was coming to an end. The 3 years were up. He was going to the cross. And we find Him eating His last Passover meal with the disciples. He gathered with the disciples. We find it in the 13th chapter of John. And He washed their feet there. The other Gospels tell about Him instituting the Lord's Supper there. John doesn't mention this, but he tells about a foot washing experience where He washed the feet of His disciples. And then He began to talk. And so you got 14, He talks about the Holy Spirit. He talks about going away and then coming back. And going to prepare a place for us and coming back. And then He talks about the Holy Spirit. And then He talks about, before He got to talking about the Holy Spirit, in the 16th chapter, the 15th chapter, He talked about our relationship with Him. That He was the vine, we are the branches. He's talking really to those disciples with Him then, but that comes all the way down to us, doesn't it? He is the vine, we are the branches, and we must be connected with Him to be effective. Otherwise, we will shrivel up and die. Okay? He was soon to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then there's that possibility that even He was already there when He prayed this prayer. But it's all right along together. We have a record of another prayer that He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying to the Father. And so I think that this experience, this prayer, possibly precedes His entrance into the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, we have in the Bible, go back a little bit, Mary Beth may call this going down a rabbit trail. I told her, I mentioned her name in the first service at 8 o'clock this morning and got permission to mention it in her presence today. So, let's go back just a little bit. We got the great commandment. What's the great commandment? Somebody help me. Love one another. I give you another commandment, a new commandment, but it had really been around a while. So love one another. Then we have the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Go to the whole world and make disciples. Begin where you are and make some, teach them and baptize them, and then spread out through the world and make new disciples. But then we have, in this case, a great prayer. And I'm not saying this is the great prayer. Notice, great prayer. Okay? We do have the great commandment, the great commission, and now we've got at least a great prayer. There are other great prayers in the Bible. One is where Solomon dedicated the temple. And the new song, the learning song this morning, was God's response to Solomon's great prayer where the temple, King Solomon's temple in Jerusalem, was dedicated. And Solomon asked God about, when my people come before you and offer their prayers, please hear them. So God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And that was the learning song this morning was taken from that. Though it was to the tune of Love Divine and all alternate verses, alternate songs, and about four that it was like. Okay, so the great prayer. Other great prayers in the Bible is the prayers that Moses prayed while he was trying to get the children of Israel from Egypt to Israel, to their rightful place, to the place that God had given to Abraham, and they had departed because of a famine, and now they were coming back. The Lord's Prayer. That's the great prayer. But that is a prayer for us to pray. So I'm calling this at least a great prayer of Jesus. It's concerning us. Jesus going to God the Father on our behalf. Can you think about that? Can you think about that? Do we do a lot of time thinking in church? We've got something going all the time, but we don't really have time to think much, do we? We're singing, we're praying, we're getting up, we're sitting down, we're listening. Something's always going on. But let's pause a moment and think. Think about Jesus. Praying for the Son of God. The very Son of the flesh. God who came as a babe. Bethlehem. Learned to be a man, and when he was baptized, God spoke, "This is my Son." When he met Elijah and Moses on the mountain for the transfiguration, God spoke, "This is my Son."
God spoke even in response to Jesus when he raised Lazarus. And then think of Jesus who could raise the dead. Jesus, who was the God of creation, who was a part of creation, mentions creation in our lesson, doesn't it? The Savior. And the Savior is talking to God about us. Now how could that happen when we hadn't even been born then? We hadn't even been conceived at that time. It was thousands of years before we would come about. But he could look into the future and know about us and pray for us. Awesome. That's astounding, if you will. Pray to the Father concerning us, that great high priest. Now we finally get to an introduction. This prayer, right in the middle, you introduce it right in the middle. Isn't that something? I'm kind of mixed up. The prayer is a prayer for us, even before we were born. It's a prayer for all who believe in Jesus. Through the word of the apostles. Because he's just prayed about the apostles. And then they were disciples then. I don't know when they became known as apostles later on. They were going to share the word that Jesus had given to them and share his death, burial, and resurrection. Knowing that it was for our sins that that happened. And it was a word that's been passed down to us. It's a prayer for those who live between Jesus' time and the apostles' time and us too. So he's praying for 2,000 years worth of people. 2,000 years worth of believers. 2,000 years worth of believers. Think of George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, just praying for them. He's praying even for... Well, some of them didn't act like they believed. I don't want to be judged, so I won't call those names out. Those who believe. He's praying for those who believed from that time and then just that way. So it's personal. Here it is, Jesus praying for you. Can you think about that? That Jesus has gone to God on your behalf. Astounding, isn't it? What did Jesus pray? He prayed for oneness among his people. And boy, do we have a long way to go before to be oneness. Before to be oneness. That petition has not yet been answered. I think he is trying and hoping that we will become one. It's not yet fulfilled. You know, Jerry Falwell died this week. Some of you probably loved it, and some of you probably couldn't stand it. Jesse Jackson, they were far apart from so many issues. When I heard Jesse on TV, best thing I've ever heard Jesse say, I guess, in my mind at least, he and Falwell were united. And like it or not, if we're in Christ, we're united with all of those other believers. We don't have to act just like them. We don't have to dress just like them. And I think this is where Tracy and Kelly went to another church last Sunday up in West Tennessee, and it was so formal. And some of us have on suits or sport coats today, a tie. Some of us don't. We don't have to. Dress alike and look alike. And we can love one another who are dressed different. And we can love one another. I grew up where if the people from another color, you didn't love them. You didn't admit you did. If you did. Unless it was that old nanny that took care of you when you was a baby. You may have nursed you. We can love that one. The word
Let's read verse 21. Jesus prayed that all believers may be one. That's the second verse. That all of them, all of us, may be one. Just as you and I are one, just as you are in me and I am in you. He's talking to God. God was in Jesus. Jesus even said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I and the Father am one. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I guess the word is be connected in Christ. If they look different, of course we all can't look alike. That'd be strange, wouldn't it? We don't all dress alike. We're not all the same size. But we can be united. We don't have to hurt one another. Be connected. Verse 23a, I put it, I think it is. I in them and you in me. So with Jesus, we are connected. All be one. Why should we all be one? So that. That's the answer. What comes after? So that. All be one so that the world will believe that God sent Jesus. We can fulfill the Great Commission if we're united. We can fulfill the Great Commission if we're one. But we're not going to fulfill the Great Commission as long as we're fighting. Christians fighting each other. You know, we looked at Ireland a few years ago and we could say, how could they claim to be Christian? They even had Christian in their political force name. And how could they be Christian? Well, they were not following Christ at all. And they were hating one another and bumming one another. Wasn't a good witness at all. But you know, I heard the other day, a brand new Presbyterian denomination. And they've got a particular thing seven churches in this denomination now. Particular things that they didn't agree with, so we won't associate with those other people. But it happened back in, 1500s? And there were some problems, many problems in the Roman church. So Luther tried to reform and it couldn't happen. Then people began to hate one another, began to kill one another. And there was the Spanish Inquisition. There was a Huguenot, French Huguenot persecution. And then there was the persecutions in England. That's how this country got started, you know? We might not have been a country if it hadn't been for that, though. But the believers were persecuted. They left England and they went to Holland. They didn't like what was going on in Holland when they came on to America. That was the Pilgrims. Some of us have never got together. Early 1800s, people understood, the Presbyterians understood the Bible differently. That all men were chosen by God to be saved. God willed that all men be saved. And it became a division. And it wasn't a pretty division. 1906, they tried to get together. After the Northern Branch had put in an explanatory statement back in 1903, and some said, we're not going with those folks. We don't want to be one with them. 1830s, another group had pulled out. 1968, another group had pulled out. Of the Southern Presbyterian Church. But I'm just talking about Presbyterians because that's family. The others have done the same thing. Other groups too. We don't even have to worship a lot. We can be formal. We can be loose. Christ is our King. Trying to serve them. You're loving one another, even loving them when they sing songs and clap. You know, the Franklin Church. That church is known for Southern gospel. Thank God. Song leader over there says that songs that make you feel good. Gospel songs that make you feel good. And we tried to do a little more songs that express God and His importance. Give praise. And we can do some feel-good songs every once in a while. You need to feel good every once in a while in Jesus' presence. All be one so that the world would believe that God sent you. You need to find Jesus, know about Him, and then know Him to be saved. And that the world would know that God sent Jesus. Verse 23. 21 and 23. Would believe that God sent Jesus in 21. Would know that God sent Jesus in 23. Would know assuredly what they believe. And that the world would know that God loves them. A lot of the world doesn't know that God loves them yet. A lot of the world thinks that God is a mean old something up yonder. You mean old man upstairs, some people refer to it, waiting to hit them every time they do something wrong. But see, God loves us. Sent Jesus to die for us. Okay. And then He prays. He prays for us to be where He is. Jesus wants us to join Him in heaven. He went to fix the place for us. I go to prepare a place for you. And I'll come back and get you and take you to where I am that we may be together. That's a paraphrase. He prays again here. Or He prays here. He's talked about it in John 14 and John 17. He's praying that we can be where He is. That's what He wants. Talking to God. God, I want these believers in 2007 to be with me and with you in heaven. Talk about heaven. He prays for us to be His glory. Now, He's talking about Christ's glory. His glory is associated with suffering. The glory is seen in His suffering. And we may have to suffer. Modern day Christians don't want to talk about suffering. I don't know anybody that really wants to go out and say, make me suffer, make me suffer. But that's maybe a part of our knowing Jesus. He wants to experience His glory in His suffering. Glory is seen in His perfect obedience to God's will. In one place we see it is when He was praying to the Father, Father, I don't want to go to that cross. Remove it from me. Remove this cup from me. Start the cup. A bitter cup to drink, if that's possible. Nevertheless, Father, disregard what I want. Do what You've done. Not my will, but Yours be done. And then glory seen as others realize His special relationship with God. What was His special relationship with God? We mentioned His baptism. We mentioned God speaking there. I've already mentioned that, I think. We mentioned the transfiguration, and God spoke there concerning Him. This is My Son. But the things that Jesus did, people would see what He did and how He lived and how He treated people, and would say, He's of God. He's of God. He's of God. The way Jesus lived showed to many that He was from God. How do you close this type of sermon? Just close it. I'm about to say, I know. How do you number 284.